Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, and verses 32 through 34. Mark 6, 32 through 34. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. The people saw them going, and many recognized them, and ran there together on foot from all the cities, and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for his ministry. And we pray that as we take time this morning in this short passage of Scripture to look at a piece of the ministry of Jesus, we might learn from him. We pray in his good name. Amen. We are here at RPTS, in a sense, to learn academics. But in another sense, the seminary is a little laboratory. We're not here simply to learn academics, but we are here to learn the practical outworkings of the academics. We learn Greek. Why? So we can teach the Scriptures. We learn Hebrew in the end, and Hebrew exegesis, so we can teach the Scriptures and lead men and women to Christ. We study church history so we may see how those in the past studied the Scriptures, understood them, and proclaimed the gospel. We study systematic theology for this reason, to have a foundation out of which we may properly interpret the Scriptures and preach Christ. And when we look into our text this morning, we see Christ preaching. We see Christ presenting himself. And we see Christ not only working with his disciples, because they're there, but himself presenting himself compassionately to the people. And we see this is a priority. And so I think, and I think you would agree with me, that in seminary, a priority is not just learning the academics, but a priority is learning to compassionately present Christ. And that's the point I want you to get from the passage this morning. When we enter this story, we find that the disciples are fatigued, they're exhausted, and that they're feeling the pressures of ministry. And they're not only feeling exhausted and feeling the pressures of ministry, but there's a sense of grief that they're carrying. Verse 32 says, they went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. Jesus had just been in Nazareth to preach. He was in the synagogue. He opened the scroll of Isaiah and said to the people assembled in the synagogue, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And they threw him out of the city. And this was a great prelude to ministry, wasn't it? Because we see in the Gospel of Mark, right after that, Jesus sends the disciples out, the 12 out, to preach, to minister, to heal the sick, and to cast out demons. But then Mark recalls the fact that Herod killed John the Baptist. This is a little earlier in Mark 6. And you may recall that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, were cousins. And so Jesus and John were closely related. And you can imagine that Jesus was carrying around some grief with regard to the killing of John the Baptist. You remember when he stood before the tomb of Lazarus and he wept. Well, I can't imagine it would be anything different with regard to John the Baptist. And so the disciples, the 12, come back now and they report concerning their ministry. Verse 30 reads, "The apostles gathered together with Jesus and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat.'" I don't think we can comprehend the press of the crowds upon Jesus and the disciples. It would be like running a marathon, and there aren't any water stops along the way. They were pressed. They couldn't even eat or drink. And so Jesus says, "Come away." And what happens? The crowd see them departing. Look at verse 33. "The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them." They get together, they go down to the beach, get in a boat, and begin to cross the Sea of Galilee, and probably are heading toward the region of Bethsaida on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, and some places there where they can find rest. But the crowd sees them. Say, "This is amazing. There they go. We're after them." They're in a boat going across the sea, about 4 miles. The people have a 10-mile trek around the shore. There they go. They're running. They're chasing them. They're after them. "We're going to get to Jesus." Others are saying, "What's going on? Who are you chasing?" "It's Jesus." "Okay, we're going." And they run. The press of ministry. Those of us who have experienced ministry over a period of years understand that there can be a little press to ministry. And those of you who are studying to be pastors realize that those times will come when you're bone tired and you just want to say, "Enough. I can't handle anything more." I think this is what was going on with the disciples. And yet, the multitudes, the crowds, are literally chasing them. And what happens? Well, look at verse 34. "When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them." He goes ashore with his disciples, and he, with some discernment, he sees the crowds. Not a small crowd, a pretty good size crowd. And he looks at them with a discerning eye, and he sees they're like sheep without a shepherd. And who is he? He's the good shepherd. Would he take time for rest? Would he take time for refuge, exhausted from ministry already? Would he take time? No, he sees sheep, people like sheep without a shepherd. His priority is ministry. This is what's taking place. The Gospel of Matthew indicates that the people are distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. They're distressed. They're troubled. They're troubled people. They're troubled with family difficulties. They're troubled with finances. They're troubled with disease and torment. They're troubled people. And they have nowhere else to go except to Jesus. And they're distressed and downcast. God said to Cain, "Why is your countenance fallen? Why are you downcast?" Well, the answer was because of sin within. The sin within was evident on his face. And so it was with these people. They were sheep without a shepherd. They desperately needed Christ. They were downcast. They were depressed. All you have to do is a bit of research in our culture today, and depression is one of the largest difficulties, the biggest difficulties. More antidepressants are sold and prescribed than almost any other medication. And some doctors, get this, some doctors are prescribing medication for unhappiness. Hello? For unhappiness? This was the case of the people whom Jesus was observing. They were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. And disregarding his fatigue, disregarding the grief he felt from the loss of this relative, this close relative, John, he enters into ministry. This is his heart. This is what Jesus came to do. Now, look at our text again in verse 34. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them. I would submit to you that the teaching that was going on here was a little bit different than Jesus going into an air-conditioned lecture hall with a nice podium and beginning to teach a series of classes. Now, why do I say this? Our preaching portion this morning is the prelude to the feeding of the 5,000. Verse 44 says, there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. 5,000 men. Matthew says, there were 5,000, not counting women and children. Now think about this. What kind of a crowd do we have? 10,000? 15,000? Women and children included? 15,000 to 20,000? This is no small group of people. Benjamin Franklin records that he counted or approximated the number of people who could be heard by George Whitefield preaching in Philadelphia. 30,000. 30,000. We're kind of startled by that number. No amplification. The projection of the human voice. When you speak to a crowd like this, you expend some energy. This kind of preaching and teaching is work. And this is the kind of situation into which Jesus was entering. My wife laughs at me after I get done preaching to a congregation of 200 or 300. Because usually my tie is wet. And I've swept through things that are in my coat pocket. It's work. And this is what Jesus was entering into. And you can imagine, friends, that when these people had crossed the landscape to hear the Savior and to receive of His ministry, when He took to the high ground and began to speak, people were saying, "Be quiet, be quiet." And a hush would go over the crowd so they could hear the words of the Savior. He taught them. And as I say, in this context, I think it was preaching that took place. It seems to me we cannot understand it in any other way. Oh yes, there may have been pauses. The group might have broken down into smaller groups. And there may have been ministry to smaller groups. That may be the case. But understand the size of the congregation to which Jesus was ministering. And the text doesn't stop here. Read it again, verse 34. When Jesus went ashore, He saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. His heart went out to them. The word used in the original language has to do with visceral response. He went out in heartfelt emotions toward the people. He couldn't help but do this. The reaction reminds me of going into an aid station and seeing men lying on the floor and the doctor saying, "Over there, chaplain," and you repair to that spot and there's a man lying on the deck with a foot missing and bones protruding from his leg, and he grabs you by the lapel and he says, "Chaplain, am I going to die?" And your heart goes out to the man. And this is what takes place in the life of Jesus. His heart goes out to the man. There are fellow feelings. He empathizes with the people. And isn't it interesting, the word compassion, which is the translation of the original language, compassion. A sense of passion and emotion with the people. Fellow feelings. And so when Jesus spoke with compassion, there was mixed in that heartfelt presentation the emotion, the passion, the desire to speak to the people, to connect with them. I can't imagine Jesus, for example, telling the parable of the Good Samaritan and getting to the climax of the parable and saying, "You know, you really need to realize that the Father loves the Son so much that He embraces the Son and says, 'My Son who was dead is alive. Who was lost is found.'" Don't you understand that, the case? No, I doubt whether Jesus presented Himself this way. Don't you see? My son. My son. Who was lost is found. My son who was dead is now alive. Get the fatted calf. Put the robes on him. Put the ring on his finger. Jesus, full of passion and compassion for the people, presented himself. This was his priority. Fatigue, grief, all set aside for the sake of ministry. Compassionate ministry. And if this was the priority of Jesus Christ, should this not be your priority and my priority? Shouldn't it be your priority here at seminary to learn to compassionately present Christ? Isn't this the objective? You're going to have evangelism classes with President O'Neill if you haven't already. And you're going to learn methodology. And it's not just the methodology you need to learn. In the laboratory of the seminary, you need to learn to compassionately present Christ. That's the objective. And with Dr. Gamble, you'll have apologetic encounters. You'll learn the methodology of presuppositional apologetics. But it's not just the methodology that's important. In the laboratory of life, you need to be able to compassionately present the Scriptures and present Christ. This is the priority. This is really why we're here together. This is what we're up to. And so this is the lesson, is it not? The seminary lesson. And for those of you who may be prospective students, this is what we're about. This is why we're here. This is a priority. Learn to compassionately present Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Good and gracious you are to us altogether. Unworthy though we be of the grace you've extended to us, you've been compassionate to us. Thank you. May we learn as a priority to compassionately present you and your gospel and your Son. Grant that this would be the case in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen.